Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
This is episode 184, A Quiet Place to Rampage.
And it's Fans of Patrol time!
I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is today a dynamic duo, Miss Tiffobot. How are you this week, Tiff?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm greater.
Oh, great. You're great now.
I'm greater.
It's podcast time.
Exactly. You know, I've been having kind of a rough little week here. Just feeling a little discombobulated. And as soon as you hit the record button, man, it goes away. You know, it's like time to roll.
Yeah. Profesh to death.
To death. And speaking of death, we got a whole bunch of death to talk about in our new trailer, Denzel Washington's Equalizer.
Oh, yes.
Indeed. Steven Spielberg got some fresh news. Fresh hot off the presses. And believe it or not, we thought this story was dead, didn't think anything else about it, but they got some more Max news. You remember Max the Cars? Max. I didn't really want to say that, but you probably don't remember this, but it's a flying car.
When I saw this, I said, what the hell is this? I mean, I've heard you guys talk about it before, so I'm familiar.
Yeah, well,
but I never watched it.
I'm sure you didn't. You know, you probably were watching the Care Bears or the Cub Kitties or something like
that. Yeah, it's like watching like Rainbow Bright.
Yeah.
Poppables.
Rainbow Bright. I forgot all about that. What else we got? Oh, yeah, we have
sex cult news. Are we gonna talk about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about sex cult.
Sex cult news. Ooh. People wanna know.
So stay tuned for that one. Also, we're gonna do what you're watching again, only because we do have a new game to play, and Smooth played it, so no Smooth today. But we are doing what you're watching, and we're doing two good what you're watchings. We have some little Quiet Place stuff, and a little what's the name of that Lost in Space?
Lost in Space.
Yes, indeed. Superman turns his birthday was this week, 80 years old. We'll be talking about that. And
happy birthday, you old fart.
You old Clark Kent, you. 80 years old, and 1,000 came out. So we'll find out how many people went and got their 1,000th comic book of the Super Duper Man. And we went to the movies, as promised. We went to go see The Big Rock, Dwayne Johnson, and Naomi Harris, whatever. and Rampage. Rampage. We went and checked that out for the people. So that's the main topic for today. And everything looks A-okay from my side of the trees. Tiff, what about you? You ready to do it?
Yes.
Let's go. All right, so this is not a No Cussing Sunday, so we can...
We're free to do whatever we want.
Just let it roll this week. Two No Cussing Sundays in a row, you know. Just woo. Anyway, we just did the Equalizer, Tiff.
Yes, coincidentally.
Coincidentally, we just a few shows ago. You guys want to have a good time, and, you know, really, we got into that movie so bad. But maybe about 10 shows ago we did that. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, man, no, it's been longer than 10 shows ago now. It just seems like it was yesterday.
Oh, okay, well, it wasn't that long ago, though. We did
The Equalizer. You can go back into those archives, get that episode.
I think it was this year, that's for sure.
Yes,
it was this year. So
I don't know. It all blurs together.
We talked about it. Does seem like we've been podcasting for like 50 years. Anyway, we talked about how much money the movie made, but it was a lot of
And we were like, "Where's the sequel? Where's the sequel?" Well, little did we know that in the background they were quietly making a sequel to this movie.
Quietly making a sequel, and you know, people. There was some negative tip. A lot of people didn't like The Equalizer. A lot of people did. You know, it was like a hot or cold movie. You know, either you was fat or you was skinny. You was big or you was tall. And so lo and behold, to my glee and excitement, the trailer dropped this week. And even more exciting, Tiff.
Yes.
The movie comes out July 20th, man.
Yeah, you know? It's really soon.
Yes. So, in this trailer, man, all the elements present in the first one seems to be back. Antoine Fuqua is back, Tiff. He's directing he did the first one, you know.
Yes.
And that's another director that's either hot or cold. People either love him or hate him, you know. Our boy is doing his thing, you know. He started off on a train and stuff, and, you know,
yep.
He clicks the watch and doing his thing, and, you know, then we see the CIA girl, you know, the lady. She's back in the field while we don't know, you know. There's a lot of stuff going on in this thing. Looks like he's busting up sex trafficking in this one, you know. But
yes,
I will say one thing.
That's his number one passion, I think.
Yes, free the girls. But yes. The one thing that bothers me about this trailer, after a while, they showed, you know, I lost my friend with this, apparently saying that the lady, the rich lady that he really likes so much, might get killed. And then when it got to that point, I said, damn, could y'all stop showing? Enough.
Don't show me the whole movie.
I felt like they were doing that, Tiff. You know?
Okay. I do not believe this saying about people that no one will buy the cow if you're giving away the milk for free.
Uh-huh.
But I believe it about trailers. Stop showing me this. I want to pay to see the movie and be surprised.
Yeah. I don't need action sequences to be the meat of the movie. And I'm not saying that's what they did, but it looks like they just went deep
on this trailer. It looks like they probably showed either this movie is going to be so full of action sequences that it would be insane, or they've shown us a majority of the action sequences in this trailer.
Yeah, and I don't need to know the whole plot because it's the Equalizer. We know what's going to happen. He walks the earth and he helps people, you know?
And I think, like, the problem with this, too, is that, like, part of the, like, what made the first movie of the Equalizer so good, and I mean partially, is that he is kind of a quiet guy that you don't suspect to be this ultimate badass. But obviously, if you've seen the first one, you already know he's the ultimate badass.
Well, he's an ultimate badass. But I will say one thing I did like about the trailer is when the guy asked him, you know, you've been sitting here, you know, kind of looked like he was harassing him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is it that you do? And he said, I'm a highly trained government assassin. And the guy looks at him, and then they, you know, laugh it off and stuff. And I was like, that was a good scene.
That was a good scene. Would have been nice to not have seen it in the trailer.
Right. Come on, y'all. Fire this trailer person here. Because I'm going to see the movie regardless, but some people might not. Some people might look at this and say, you know, well, I know what's going to happen. You know, just, I don't know, be smart.
Well, I think that those people will still see it. If you're not familiar with the first Equalizer and you saw this trailer, I think that you might see this movie because this is the time when John Wick is really popular. Do you know what I mean? Like the ultra-violent, badass people. And I think that this trailer might really draw you in because you might not realize, oh, the quiet moments are also good. I'm looking for the action.
Yeah, and if, you know, one thing that we talked about when we did our review discussion of the first Equalizer was that it was a very quiet movie for a lot, you know.
Yes,
and
yes.
Which that balance is what people either hated or loved it. You and I, we loved that. We loved that the movie wasn't just jamming down our throat, you know, just violent garbage all the time. That it took its time to develop mood, you know, which you don't really see in a lot of movies. Now, John Wick is completely opposite. Not really, because the beginning of John Wick was really slow, the very first one, you know, with the wife dying and the puppy and all that stuff. And then once it took off, it was no bringing it down. And the second one was a drag race, but it worked for John Wick. So, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
it can be done correctly both ways. But one thing I really liked about the first Equalizer was the quiet moments mixed with the fast ones. And, you know, I thought it was
because it just blew you away when he was like, but so this trailer just looks like they're really piling it on, which I'm still going to go see it. I'm super pumped to go see it. I'm just a little bit, just hold it back in the trailer. Let me get my fix at the movies.
Yeah. Now, one thing I did appreciate about the trailer was he was like, the Vulcans, he's like, you ever seen Star Trek? That's cool. That's a trailer moment, you know, because I was sitting there like, oh, God. You know?
That was hard to watch. That was, even my hands, like, just thinking about it hurt.
Yeah. You guys want to check out this trailer. It is on our Facebook and on our Twitter feed. So go check out that trailer just so you know what we're talking about. It's good. The trailer's good. Too much. Well, let me rephrase that. The trailer's bad because it's too much. but the movie looks awesome. Let me just say that.
Right. Yes. Yes. Perfect. It's a perfect summarization of the situation.
Indeed. So we're looking forward to you, Denzel, and the cast of characters returning and some new characters, you know, and the same, you know, you really can't go wrong when you keep with the same director and, you know, that ensemble.
Right. Like the vision's the same. That's
the
good.
The vision's the same. Exactly. So, man, moving off the Equalizer, what else we got sitting up here? Oh, our guy Steven Spielberg, fresh off of the success of Ready Player One. Sound like I'm about to start rapping. I just throw a beat behind it. Fresh off success. Anyway, he's doing the DC movie, man. I was so surprised to see this. But
I was too.
When I saw what he was doing, it made total sense. He's doing Blackhawks. Now, if you're not familiar with Blackhawk, Blackhawk is a team of pilots back in, they were like heavy in World War II, which is, we know, is Steven Spielberg's, that's his sandbox right there, man. He loves World War II stuff, you know, does it all the time. Now, I don't know if this is going to be World War II, but they were, you know, like, they were old pilots, and then in the modern age, they were still old, you know. I mean, they were younger. It was olden times, and then, like, they actually, you know, made it to the newer times, but they were still some badass pilots, you know, with these James Bond Incredibles type of sophisticated planes that, you know, like, essentially like a James Bond car, but in the sky, you know, everything, they tricks and stuff like that. So looking at this, Tiff, what you think about this?
See, I don't know very much about it, but it does seem like something, like, I think he will take it probably and make it very, you know, comic booky and more like a touching, or, you know what I mean? Like, that is kind of his wheelhouse, to make it into like these touching, braiding childhood moments where you're just like, not childhoodness necessarily, but like you're like filled with wonder, like we've talked about before.
Now, I wonder, is this movie going to be connected to the DC universe, or is it going to be some
probably not
thing? That's what I was wondering. See, because
he's not going to put his name on that doo-doo show.
What you can do, well, not really, because there's nothing doo-doo about Wonder Woman. And
true,
you could actually, if you were smart and slick and smooth, you could figure out a way to get Steve Trevor in this movie some kind of way, even though he wasn't connected to that. But you could do a cameo with Steve Trevor.
Yeah,
and connect
that's
some kind
true.
Uh-huh. Yep. You can figure out some kind of way, you know. Now, Wonder Woman just came into herself, you know, back in when the movie started. But if it could be after Steve Trevor's death, and you might could have a Wonder Woman cameo in it. Never know, you know.
That's true.
Your most successful character right now. I would work it, you know, some kind of way.
But that's the thing. Like, I think probably part of it is that they assume they don't need to do anything like super fancy or special, because Steven Spielberg is already kind of the super shiny special thing about it.
Steven Spielberg, ladies and gentlemen, that's all we need
like,
to tell you.
I feel
you.
Like probably DC right now is like a coup, a real coup. We've really done it this time.
Well, Star Wars went and grabbed Opie, you know, for the deuce, yeah. Han Solo. And so, you know, they said, hey, why don't we go get a big boy? But I said, damn, they went and got the biggest boy they could find.
Yes,
ain't
true.
No boy bigger than this one, Zach, still.
But, I mean, I want you to slow your roll, DC, because the fact of the matter is that he has made some stinkers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Everyone has a few stinkies.
Oh, he got a bunch, but he's got a lot of movie credits.
But he's got a lot of really good ones. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't deny it. Oh, yeah. Like, he has the vision to make great movies. I'm just saying that, like, I think DC, every time that something happens, I envision DC's boardroom, like, them being like, we did it! By George, we finally cracked the code.
Smith! Drinks all around! Somebody go get Smith! Yes. And serve these drinks!
So, I mean, I guess we'll see how, I mean, like, at this point, there's really barely, this is like the tip of the iceberg of news, where you say, okay, he's attached to this project.
Yeah, but he's attached as a producer and director, or is it just directing?
Just directing, as far as I know. And also, the article says it's years and years out, because he has to finish a current project, then he has another committed project before this one.
Oh, goodness gracious, good golly, Miss Molly. I didn't even really, I mean,
yes,
you
so
know,
good luck.
That slipped my memory. So, my kids might be having kids by the time this movie come out. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. He's got, like, his next Indiana Jones movie, and then another project, and then this one.
Just drop Indiana Jones, please. I'm sorry,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, don't do that.
I don't want to see old man Indy Jack. You know what they could do? This is the only way I want to see Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
What if he becomes, like, the Sean Connery character?
No.
No. To a new Indiana Jones. Yes.
No. Here's my vision. Okay, here we go.
Okay, show me your vision.
Cue the Indiana Jones music. There we go.
Okay.
So Indy's sitting in his house, man. Indy's old as Harrison Ford right now. You know, he's not running up and down no buildings or nothing right now. He's not crashing any more damn planes. He's just Indiana Jones, and his grandkids is in there, and, you know, one little odd little grandkid, he want to talk, you know, hey, Grandpa, I found this. And, like, he finds the whip and the hat, you know. Found this upstairs in the attic. And Mom says, come tell your story. Some kind of bullshit crap like that, you know. The music starts. Now you got you a young Indy. You got to get you a young Indiana. Pass it to a younger Indy. But having Harrison Ford in there talking about his olden days, you know, and there, you know, you, how they do the close-up with the eyes, and then it turns into somebody else. Now you got the young Indy in peril with him telling the story. And that's how you do it. That's boom. You pass the torch.
You want like a How I Met Your Mother Indiana Jones style.
Damn right. I want a new Indiana Jones, somebody young. He don't need to be in his 20s, but the age of Harrison Ford when he was doing the first Indiana Jones Raiders of the Lost Ark movie.
But part of the problem is that I think sometimes just let the dog die.
No, not just, this dog. Not this one.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Hello. Yes. You do.
We have enough Indiana Jones. Think of a new. You know what? Maybe I'm getting burnt out on sequels. Make something new.
Well, with a whole new actor playing this role, it's unlimited, man. You know, these movies, as well as Star Wars, was always meant to resemble serials back. You know, the dawn of movies. You know, every week, you know, there was a new adventure. You just never ended. You know, and sequels just exploded. After Star Wars, you know, doing sequels, but they reminded George Lucas of serials, Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and that's what he grew up on. My mom used to talk about them, you know. And so they're designed to never stop. Now, just because all these other movies make sequels and stuff like that, they're just copying off of the master, you know, with George Lucas and Steven Spielberg, you know. So do what you do. That's what Indiana Jones was never designed to end. Neither was Star Wars. It was every week is supposed to be a new, you know, thing.
Lord.
Yes. New Indy. So, look, damn, we talk about Indiana Jones.
Well, I'm glad that you're happy about it.
Well, I'm happy. I think Black Hawk is perfect.
Apprehensively happy.
No, I think it's perfect for Steven Spielberg. I think he will, like, just set it off. I really do, you know?
Yeah.
Be great in it. Anyway.
This new Black Hawk thing, yes.
New Black Hawk thing. What we got?
Oh, you want to talk a little bit about, oh, my God, my show notes went down. Mask, the thing that we were all hyped up about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, I don't know, Tiff. Now, I was not a huge Max fan back in the day, but I used to watch the show. I kind of got into the show a little bit, but it was never like, it was people that was like G.I. Joe into Max. You know, it was like, oh, Max is the greatest, and they had these toys. The toys was kind of unbelievable to me because, it's amazing what nerds consider is passable as, because sure. They had a car, it was a Camaro. And the wings opened up. It was like, you know, like a old, like, Maserati. And then, like, they extended, and the car flew. And I was always like, them little doors can hold the weight of the car. You know?
Yes.
Like, I don't think that could happen. And the thing was, like, maneuverable more than, a stealth, like, jet, you know. And so they wore these Macs. Everybody wore Macs. They were just regular people. But the bad guys had Macs. All the cars transformed. But not like Transformers, but, like, they would, like, a truck would turn into almost a tank, you know. All the little stuff would it was hit other stuff. But it was good forces against evil forces. Now, they were talking about doing a movie for it. And I said, well, I guess you could absolutely turn anything into a movie, any fantasy into a movie. So they actually got a director for this sucker now. So it's moving on full steam ahead. They're about to, you know, getting shooting days together. It's the one of the Fast and the Fate and the Furious director, right?
Yeah, Gary Gray.
So we know the man can do over-the-top action, and that's what something like this would need. And with him at the wheelhouse, it's not a joke anymore. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's still going to be a joke.
No, Tiff. Fate and the Furious made more money than anything. You know what I'm saying?
At that point, it was established that the Fast and the Furious movies were already making, just for some reason, people around the world love to watch those.
Yeah, because they're just
fun. That's how
they just fun, you know, that's why.
Yeah, that's how they make money. So I think at this point, even if a sack of dog shit made a Fast and the Furious movie, then probably everyone would go see it.
Tiff, if I made Fast and the Furious, it would be the first bomb ever. So that's the luck I have. Just saying.
No, I'm just saying. So I'm just saying, like, with this, eh. And also the thing about it is that they're going to have to wear the masks. The fucking thing is called masks. And the masks are what make it stupid.
They'll do the Tony Stark. They'll show everybody inside their masks making faces and stuff, you know.
Maybe. That could be okay. But still, you're going to have to show the masks.
Yeah, you got to.
So.
You're going to have to show the masks. And the masks.
Good
really,
luck.
I'm telling you, the masks was not the draw for the cartoon. It was the vehicles, you know.
Well, I mean, I get it, but still. Yeah. There's still that dumb element that's there that's going to make this real dumb.
Yes, it is. Oh, God. Okay, Tiff. You are right, but we're going to see how this is going to turn out.
Okay, I'm just saying, let's just see how it goes. I'll probably have to see it for this podcast. I'll let you all know that's going to be hot trash. So putting my 2 cents worth in already, but all right, okay.
Oh, shoot. I refuse to let you go see this movie on, what is it, your Tuesday or Monday or what is it?
Bad movie Tuesday.
You can't see it on Tuesday anyway.
All right, fine.
Oh, shoot. All right, before we do our social media, man, you heard that stuff about Allison Mack that used to be on a Smallville?
Special news. She's part of a sex cult.
Right. Now, that's not news because that's been known.
No. Everyone, here's the thing. Everyone knew.
Yeah, that's been out for about a couple
of
months.
And there's a lot of cult stuff, and that's, you know. Whatever consenting adults choose to do with their time and whatever.
Well, it's still weird. You know, people say shit like that, but I'm still like, if I met a woman and she tells me she's the head mistress, second in command to some massive cult of people who get together and screw every damn day, I would be like, madam, excuse me, and I need to go wash my hand. You know, get out of here, man.
Yeah, the thing about it is that, yes, to most normal people, as they say, vanilla people, we just... You know, that's weird. But at the same time, what I'm saying is you have obviously found your niche. You've found your people.
Well, her character on Smallville, she was the girl next door, you know? She was, you know.
That's always the quiet ones.
Yeah, she was Chloe, man. She was the Betty, not the Veronica, you know? So.
Well, then what you're saying is she was a really good actress.
Well, maybe, maybe not. She might act just like that in real life and just like to have sex with a room full of people. You know, who knows?
I mean, you know.
But like you were saying.
But you guys, it wasn't.
Right.
It's never like that. It's never. When you hear something a little freaky, it's always a lot more freaky. It's always. And it's bad. So
it was a lot more freaky.
There's some sex trafficking stuff going on and she's like. Yeah. The queen of it.
I think she's been indicted or arrested, one or the other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Isn't that weird how, like...
Sex trafficking.
I mean, like, high-profile people who think that they aren't... Not that she's super high-profile now, but, like, you're more in the spotlight than, say, my next-door neighbor.
Man, you know, this sounds so bad. We should have sent our friend who has a particular set of skills to go rescue all these girls over there.
Goodness gracious. Yes,
God damn, man.
It's, like, that's really awful.
Yeah!
Like, what? Come on, lady. Don't do this.
What the hell? You're Chloe. Chloe would never do this. What would Clark say? God.
Clark would beat your ass.
Right? So, listen, it's creepy. And when we get some more details, we'll come back to this. But it's weird.
It's just... It's bad news. And it's very bizarre. So,
What the hell was you doing?
Mm-mm.
Listen,
no.
The queen mistress stuff was bad enough, but then you turn around and you make it illegal with all kind of, you know, against your will crap going on. Shit, you are Kelly. Yeah. Who's next? Shit.
No boy, no.
So, Tiff, can you hit our social media?
I would absolutely love to. For everything Fans and Patrol, of course, you can go to fansandpatrol.com. That's where you'll find our previous shows, show art that Montego's done, articles that have been written, events that have been held by Fans on Patrol in the past. There's fun stuff to look at. That's fansonpatrol.com. And you can reach us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com. That's an email where you can send suggestions, comments, concerns, whatever you would like, fans@fansonpatrol.com. If you're a little shy and you'd like to be more like on the social media scene, you can reach us at Fans on Patrol on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And we'd love to hear anything you have to say. We like comments. We love to interact with you, so please do that. And then we are on Spotify, Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and TuneIn. any of those on any of the listening platforms that you are currently on, if you could just open that up and give us a rating and or a review, that would be much appreciated. We would love to shout you out on the air. We this is about the time when we go and look and see if anyone's done it, but we haven't had one in a while, so we'd really appreciate it if you guys did that.
No, but we get a lot of interaction on stuff, and sometimes I can get to it, sometimes I can't. But shout out to Joey DiCarlo, shout out to Ken Wade, shout out to Michael Sacho, shout out to I don't know who you are. Oh, Nicholas Haskins, and shout out to Victor Abaram, man. You know, shout out to you fellas there. And did I shout out any ladies? What about Liza? Shout out to Liza. How about that?
Yeah, Liza.
There we go. So, I think we are done. It's breaky time. So,
break time.
We're going to take a quick little breaky poo. We'll be right back. And I think we'll be right back. Bye.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm going to shoot you right down. Right off of your feet. You're home with me.
All right, man, what you watching, Tom? You never heard the show. What you watching is this when we go see things that was not the main topic of our show, nerd stuff, and we come back and talk about it. TV shows, movies, stuff like that. A lot of times Netflix stuff end up on what you watching. But
yeah, because we're at home and we're bums and watching the Netflix. Well,
exactly.
Some of us more bum than others. I'm a bum. Mm-hmm. Montego is a hard-working individual.
I like doing nothing. So, what have you been watching this week, Tiff?
Okay, so this week I went and I saw the new phenomenon, A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place. Movie. Now, I'm glad you're talking about this because it looks super interesting to me. I've been trying to decide if I was going to go do the old movie pass on that one. So, what's up with this thing?
I do think it's really, really good. Mm-hmm. So, the movie is about these, you know, it's kind of a... It's not pretty post-apocalyptic because the movie takes place pretty quickly after the incident.
Oh, there's something that happens, huh?
These monsters are introduced.
Ah, got you.
Somehow. And they are attracted to noise. They can't see. They don't smell. It's not one of those things. They're attracted to noise. So everyone has to be very quiet. And the interesting thing about the movie is it's very, there's not a lot of noise.
So there's monsters, right? So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, can you kill them?
Yes, but they're very strong.
Okay, gotcha.
And fast.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to tell you what happens necessarily in the movie because I don't want to spoil it for anyone because this is not a spoil. This is a spoiler-free segment-ish. But suffice it to say that you watch this family. It's one particular family.
Yeah.
And how they are adapting to life in a soundless environment.
So, like I'm in my house and we sit here talking and they, like, a couple blocks over, they would hear you?
They don't speak. In the movie, they use sign language. One of their daughters is deaf.
So they would hear you from a long way away, huh?
Yep, and so there's rules and stuff that they explain in the movie.
Okay,
and
okay. Interesting.
That, like,
I think I want to see this.
Yeah, it's. I think that it's taking a risk. It's a very interesting and unique approach to horror in a way that's... And it has a lot to... It's one of those horror movies, kind of like Get Out, where... It's an interesting, it's not a lot of horror, but it's a really interesting take on, like, society and stuff like that. I would say it's kind of an unfair comparison because Get Out is a much better movie than this movie. And I'm not saying this movie's bad. I'm just saying that Get Out is kind of unprecedented, and this movie is more like, well, what if this? And that's really cool. It's a cool movie. I definitely think you should go check it out. But I do sometimes, do you ever have this feeling where, like, you're watching something and you're like, is it good? Or am I impressed by its
right? Novelty? Yeah, it happens sometimes, and normally it takes you a while to, you know.
Right. So I think I need to see it again to see if I was just like, is this movie actually something that I enjoy? I mean, I didn't have a bad time while I was watching it. I thought it was a really good movie. I'm just wondering if I'm like blown away by the fact that it's mostly silent, that they're taking these innovative approaches, and that's still worth. Even if it turns out that maybe I don't love it as much as I thought I did, it's still worthwhile because of the risks that they took.
So you can hear people crunching popcorn and stuff in this one, huh?
Oh, my God. So, like, some of the articles that have been coming out regarding this movie is that this movie is giving people who eat at the movies anxiety because all you hear is, like, people drinking their sodas.
Sticking their head in the popcorn real slow. they're going in real slow. So, like,
so it was – I had – I had bought a little bag. I don't normally eat candy at the movies.
But you had a box that rattled, didn't you?
What I got was this little bag of Twix bites.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to stick my hand in there, and it was like... I was like, fuck it, I'm not eating. But also, the other funny thing about this movie is that people have brought up the fact that, like, okay, because, like, they live their lives very silently, and, like, when you watch the movie, it's kind of crazy the things that they have to do to, like, avoid making any noise. And so people were like, what about farts?
Oh, you in trouble.
Yeah, I guess so.
You're in trouble.
But suffice it to say, no one farts in the movie, so it's kind of a void. They dance around the issue, you know. And I will spoil something because it's from the preview. There is a scene where a person goes into labor.
Oh, that was in the thing?
It's in the preview, so it's not a spoiler. So, like,
oh, that's she in trouble then.
Like, I guess that's, you know. But I highly recommend the movie just based on, because even if it's not as good as I think, it's really highly worth a watch. So go to the movies. Get it done. I also think, although I will say, and I don't say this often, if you wait to see this in your home, you're not going to miss out on, like, it's not you need to see it on a big screen.
Gotcha. You know, it's just the weather's getting a little better, and I don't mind stepping out the house a
little bit. Yeah, go outside. I think it would be really, really fun to watch on a drive-in screen.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. They still had those. I didn't know that.
We have them. Yeah, we have them here. We have one here. So, It's, you know, we make, you know, drive out there every summer, try to see a movie.
Yeah.
But tell me about Lost in Space.
Oh, yes, man. So I end up starting a show this week, and I had no intention of watching the whole thing, but I end up watching the whole thing.
So that's a good endorsement. Sorry, well, I had a hiccup. Endorsement. That's didn't mean to, but you ended up watching the whole thing.
Yeah, because it grabbed me. It grabbed me. And it's definitely one of those Netflix shows that's meant to binge. Cinematography on this thing is gorgeous. The sets are gorgeous. The special effects are nice. The premise of the show is really, really good. It's similar to the original. It's similar to the movie, but it is different. It's a lot different. The characters are way better developed than, you know, any other show you ever seen. So they had a little boy. He's kind of annoying. Got to be honest with you.
Just like I say, all children in shows and movies are annoying.
Will Robinson gets on my damn nerves in this thing. The daddy is cool. The mom is cool. The mom is an actress. I can't remember her name, but she's been around for a while. The character she always plays is always kind of similar. She always plays like confident, likable, like mothers and, you know, women and stuff. But then she has these little effed up little ways about her. You know what I'm saying? That you like, yeah, she was kind of doing the same crap on that last show. You know, Molly Parker plays the mom. She plays Miss Robinson, Maureen Robinson. And so, like, the family got problems, man. It's not the perfect little family like, you know, on a TV show. It's more kind of like the movie, but worse. They're not in a really good place. And they have, you know, the Judy, Penny, Will. The robot gets introduced, but it's totally different than any rendition you ever seen. And so I'm not going to spoil that because I think if you're going to watch this, I would ring the spoilers, but nah, it's part of the story and it's part of the overall, you know, arc of the story with the robot. But,
with the robot.
For a moment, the show got kind of tweeny, CWE for maybe episode, maybe about.
It's that. You know, they're trying to get all their audiences covered.
Right, and you can tell because at first it was really kind of like parent central, you know, and then it went like the girl central and there's a boy and he. And then it was like, when that happened, I was like, uh-oh.
So I can appreciate that point of view,
mm-hmm.
trying to do that. But don't you kind of hate that? It's like, you shouldn't be trying to grab all your straws. You need to be grabbing for the straw that is yours.
You should be grabbing for the straw that's yours. However, I think if they were, what's really their straw in this one, honestly, would be the tween audience. It would be, this is, you know, this kind of stuff. They're into this kind of stuff. And older guys like me are into it because we grew up with this stuff. But it borderline, it went back and forth, but they did it pretty good. I mean, the tween stuff didn't dominate it. It was just a little bit of it. And then there were other people in this show, and so it made it way more interesting. It wasn't this five people with some villains, you know. And Parker Posey plays Dr. Smith, and I was really upset when I saw that because It's, to me, it's funnier when a man is a coward. For some reason, when I
see, I don't know anything about Lost in Space.
Oh, old Dr. Smith, man. I, you know, he was just a straight up coward. Oh no, that's all he did. The whole show was just scream and run away and lead a boy there to fend for himself. I'm getting out of here, Will. You know, he just take off and shit. So it's just like.
So is she like that too?
No, she is more like the Gary Oldman. Well, who was actually a lot like the old Dr. Smith with the cowardliness about him, but she's more. A lying, calculated, lying, scheming, conniving piece of shit, you know. And you just hate her so much on this show, but she did such a good job being that character that it was. She was very, very interesting, but you wanted to see her get hers. But you was like, please get, oh God, you know. But and which was good. When I started thinking about it, I said, oh, she's really making me just want to just hit her. I was like, yeah, man,
it's good, like a good villain.
That was,
or not villain, but like, you know.
That's the thing. Yeah, she was a villain. She absolutely okay, was a villain. Okay, oh, okay. So it was. She did a really, really good job. Parker Posey really did a good job. And the writing that they had to work with was really good. So I enjoyed the hell out of it, man. I will say this. My biggest problem with it is that it went a little. It needed a little bit more humor. They were serious as a heart attack. I mean, the whole thing was serious as a heart attack. It was one moment where they let the kids kind of be free for a second, and they even played some rock music. It seemed so out of place. It was like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but not, y'all been so
well,
serious.
No, I think sometimes, like, it takes a special person to be able to do, like, humor amidst action. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a special touch. And some people are like, well, we have to have it, so we're going to try to do it. And you're like, ooh, I can tell you're not good at it.
Yeah, you were right. They tried to lighten it up. It wasn't a humorous moment, but they tried to lighten it up a little bit.
Right.
And you was like, nah, y'all committed to this dark shit now. You just got to keep rolling this way now, you know. So, but I enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed it, and I liked the way it ended. So I recommend. I recommend, especially for any sci-fi, any person who's a fan of the original, any person like sci-fi, I think you would like this, Tiff. I think some of the points that I'm bringing up about, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, oh yeah, okay. And yeah, the boy was annoying. He got on my damn nerves, but it wasn't to the point that the stuff he was doing was supposed to be annoying. So it wasn't like he was an annoying actor. He wasn't an annoying actor. It was just like, God damn it, boy. You know, the stuff he was doing. But he was a good little actor, though. Yeah, he wasn't like scrappy, you know, and I'm a tough guy out here. No, he was a little whiny, kind of like Luke Skywalker. So anyway, so that's it for what you're watching, man.
That's it for what you're watching.
We're going to close that down, and we're going to take another break. We're going to come back with Superman's birthday. So hold on to your cheeks. Because I can see the beautiful, but I didn't see the disguise. Hey, the finest fruit in the grapevine. Hey, the bitter taste in the sweet wine. I'm over here with a cup full, drinking to my demise. All right, Tiff, we are back with Superman 1000. Damn.
1000. While I was reading this, let me be not, I'm not trying to be stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, because I knew there was more than 100, but the whole time I was reading it, I was like, oh, 100.
Yeah.
Even though I knew, like, I was like, oh, no, it's 1000.
Action Comics 1000. I mean, that's amazing. You know?
It is. I am not glad that we read this because I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
But I am very glad that we read this because it is a Hallmark situation.
Yeah, man. We got to cover Superman 1000. So this is the big daddy. I think this book was like $8, man. Very expensive.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and I think they quote unquote justified it because they put in a lot of stuff. But it's like quantity is not quality, as they say. It is. And then,
yeah, I know.
We should start talking about it because...
Well, first of all, happy birthday to Superman.
Happy birthday.
It was this week, right? Like Wednesday. He was turned 80 years old, man. Man. And you would think DC would be making a bigger deal about this. You know, don't nobody know other than comic fans, you know.
You know that comic book is not super good at, like...
marketing?
They should... Yes. They should have had, like... First of all, there's a Metropolis, Iowa.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's probably a tiny little place.
And they always celebrate Superman crap. That's like what they're known for.
Yes.
Because why wouldn't you?
Well, I would, shoot.
But like, you need to, you need to like have parades and like bullshit like that, because like you don't need to increase your advertising budget that much. You need to divert your advertising budget from what you normally do into like a small campaign for Superman's birthday.
Yeah, even DC Entertainment should have, you know, y'all should have been doing something, having some movie come out with Superman and something, man. God dang. Anyway, he's 80 years old. They kind of dropped the ball, but they did release this comic. And if you like annuals, if you like annual comics, this is for you.
Oh, it's Metropolis, Illinois. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I tried to steal their thunder. Oh. Anyway, yeah, if you like comic books, I'm sorry. I meant to talk over you. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. So if you like annuals, this is the book for you, because that's all this is. It's a bunch of little stories.
Don't read it unless you already like Superman and you want to have, like, your own asshole kissed, I guess, is what this is. Just like,
oh, God.
It's just like, I'm sorry, but it is like, oh, do you like a Superman? You want me to give you a baba? Do you want... It's just like, I don't... Can you entertain me? Don't just like... And here's the thing. I don't mean to detract from it, because some of the stories in there were actually entertaining.
Yes. Yes. I like the old school one. I like the old school one with the old cape and the old outfit.
I liked the one with Lex Luthor at the planetarium was good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like saying, but the ones that were good made the ones that were not so good stand out even more.
Yeah, well, the first one was just, you know, that parade. You know, they were having him speak at that thing, and you know, he didn't want to be a part of it and stuff. So I kind of, you know,
and man, it seemed like a butthole.
Yeah, he don't like to get he don't like the recognition. But I did.
I get it.
I did appreciate the bright draws being back on my boy. I like I like the underwear outside. Dude,
they had a comic where they talked about his drawers.
Yes, they did. I like the underwear.
I thought about you the whole time. I was like, oh, it's like a Montego segment.
Right. But all it is a bunch of different stories, you know.
And it's, you know, I'm assuming, and I don't mean to be, that was kind of a jerkish thing to say, because I imagine that if I was a Superman fan, this might be very touching or exciting to me in a way that, like, not because necessarily the stories are super, super good, but, like, you're looking back over a whole fandom. It might be hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. It is hard to do. My favorite one was the car. I like that one with the old school Superman and stuff.
Yeah, that one had the best drawing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it wasn't so comic booky. It was more arty, you know, very artsy, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot of different stories in here. I mean, it's great for a core fan, but I will agree with you. If you're not a Superman fan big time, you wouldn't care about this, because it's not that good. It really isn't. It's just a bunch of goofy stuff, you know. So,
and it's so much money for, like, the content, or, I mean, for so little substance. The amount is there. Yes, I paid. Okay, I could pay $10 for the world's biggest sandwich that tasted like horse crap.
Yeah,
but that's not a deal.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't that good, y'all. I mean, honestly, and I'm a Superman fan. Y'all know that. I just was like, yeah. All these little. I don't like annuals. I always skip annuals, Tiff. I never bought them. I used to buy them back in the day only because, you know, you bought them every month. But I used to get to annuals and be like, because like, especially if it was like a big story arc going on, they would barely touch on it. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, whoa. I wanted to see how this ends. Or they would like close it down so fast that it didn't matter, because you could tell like it was like end of the year or something. And it was just like, okay, move on with the next story.
Yeah.
So I don't recommend. I recommend for, you know, collectors, but nobody's going to, you know, comic books, that collecting stuff is over. You have to be a nuclear war, and you have to have the old last one for it to be worth something now these days.
Right. No, everyone's got them. They're digital. They're everywhere. You have to have really early ones. I mean, I have some comic books that, like, are actually on the internet worth money. Like, that, like I have a couple, like, $12 to $25 single issues.
Mm-hmm.
But no one in person that sees my face wants to buy those.
Yeah.
You have to get on eBay and try to sell them, and even then no one wants them. It's like a theoretical amount of money.
Yes, it is.
Theoretically, it's worth $25.
We think it's worth so-and-so, right?
Sure, whatever.
Right. So that's going to do it for the comics, man. I say leave it alone. So do you, right?
Yeah, leave it alone. Unless you're a big Superman fan.
Unless you're a big Superman fan, unless you want that 1,000. It's not the worst thing I've ever read, but it's just, it wasn't
all that interesting. No, we have read worse comics on this show.
Yes, we have. Hey, we need to check on that comic I really like. I haven't read it in a while, but I got a bunch of them saved digitally with the animals.
Animosity.
Oh, God, I like that comic. Anyway, that's going to do it, man. We're going to come back. It's main topic time. It's time for Dwayne Rock Johnson and Rampage and all them creatures.
Rampage.
And that fine woman. Anyway, listen, we'll be right back. All right, Tiff, this is it. This is
here
the,
we are.
This is the big one, man. No, it's not. But this is the main topic of the day. So we like The Rock. We like Dwayne. And so we decided we was going to go check out Rampage. We didn't have to. We probably could have let this one just keep rolling because I think he got two movies this summer. I don't know if I want to see the Skyline one or not.
Oh, sure. Skyscraper or whatever.
Skyscraper, right. I'm not so sure about that one, but... Yeah, so this is The Rock is back, man. Then 2018's Rampage, 1 hour 47 minutes. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Naomi Harris. I just can't say it enough. Malin Ackerman, is that her name? Ackerman, yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan in the house. Jake Lucy and Joe Magliano. I was surprised. I didn't know he was in this movie. And a whole bunch of beautiful people who have zero body fat. It was like nobody that was except for the one guy. He wasn't even overweight or nothing like that. He was just a nerd.
No,
the
nerd buddy. Looked bigger than everyone else because they were all so skinny or tight, like,
yeah,
muscly.
Yes, everybody was a big fella in this thing. But anyway, man, so Tiff, without spoiling this sucker, how you feel about Rampage?
This movie is garbage.
Oh, wow. You didn't like it at all, huh?
Oh, my God. It's probably the worst movie I've seen this year.
Oh, get out of here. We can see some worse
movies. Sorry. No, it is bad. It's committed the worst offense because, like, I knew it wasn't going to be a smart movie, but it is also boring.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
All right. We're all attached to our...
What would you like? You loved it, right?
No, I didn't love it, but I will say this. I had a lot of fun with it. I enjoyed it as a popcorn movie. That's how I looked at it. I said, I'm just going to have fun with this. And, you know, of course, it's totally ridiculous. But I enjoyed it. And I'm going to tell you why I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it for what it was. Just a big action, rock'em, smash'em, monster movie, goofy thing. And I that's what I liked about it. I didn't expect anything more from it. No, it's not the best movie in the world, and there are some things that happen in it. I was like, oh, I can't believe they did that one. But I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I just had fun.
No.
Yeah, I was able to have fun with it, Tiff. You know, I like this way better than Pacific Rim Uprising. That's for sure.
Oh, that's crazy because I would not say that at all.
Okay, so this is going to be a good one. So
as soon as we left, Mike said that was awful, and I bet your co-host loved it.
Nah, people started to know me. But I liked all the destruction and all that stuff. So I'm gonna tell you what else I love. Well, go ahead.
Okay, go on. No, I was gonna say I wanted to see a shitty movie where monsters just killed people and beat things up and stuff like that. But there's just a lot of this movie where they try to build up plot and stuff that I just don't care about. I don't care about his love story with that lady. I don't care about any past things that happened. Show me a big gorilla smashing downtown Chicago.
Oh, well, they were showing some monsters. It was just,
yeah, but like 15 minutes of it. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, nothing. But nothing about that. But no, I just really thought it was cool. I thought it did exactly what it needed to do and left the rest of it sitting there. And it didn't need to be. They had to develop some kind of story, Tiff. You can't just have the monsters just beating the shit out of everything, you know. So I thought they did that. I liked the introduction of the gorilla. What was the gorilla's name? George.
George, zoo. Ralph, and Lizzie are the names of the animals from Rampage.
Is that the names that was in the game?
Yes, and they are also, they make mention of it in the movie. They don't name the lizard, but they're like, weirdos on the internet are calling this wolf Ralph.
Yes, I remember that part. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder if that was how it was in the game. I used to play the game, you know.
No, the game has like virtually no plot.
No, you were the monster. You just walk in.
You were the monster. They had the names just so you could choose them on the home screen.
Yeah, you just go in and start beating shit and you'll pop out of.
Eating people.
Eat a people, a person every once in a while. So, you know, I thought that was cool. But so these things started out with them in space and stuff, man, and that big rat chasing the people. And then that's how, you know, I thought it was going to be some alien thing. So I'm kind of glad that it wasn't alien, that it was like us, you know, it was people that jacked this whole thing up. And so George gets infected and stuff. And I like the scenes before George gets infected, playing around with the guy on the ground, even though they showed that in the trailer. It was a little better,
yeah.
More of it in the movie. And I thought George was so likable, you know. Then they,
I thought George was likable. I'm not saying that he wasn't.
Yeah, and I think the Rock was pretty likable in this thing.
Well, he's always likable.
Well, he is most of the time. Then they introduce fine Dr. Kate Caldwell. Ooh, Dr. Kate Caldwell, Money Penny herself. She's getting older, and she's just like fine wine, Tiff. She just just look better. Just getting older, she looked better. Damn, she fine. Anyway. So she used to work for the firm and stuff like that, and they kicked her out and stuff. And all this stuff was easy writing cliche stuff, of course.
Oh, yeah.
She's, of course.
You think she's bad. She lies to him.
Oh, I didn't think she was bad.
Actually good.
I didn't think she was bad for 1 minute. I just...
No, absolutely not. Like, the beats of this movie are very easy to follow. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing about this movie. That's what you're looking for. A beat, you know, she's supposed to be bad. Like, maybe she's a liar, but, you know, we all know she's good because of the way that it's shot, the way the story's being told, we know she's good.
They introduced the brother and sister, and we knew they was evil, boy.
Good. Oh, yeah, you can just tell that. They did, here's the thing. I've seen both these actors and other things, and I will say that I feel like they were maybe given the direction that they were, like, really ham it up.
Oh,
make
really?
It really hammy, because like I've seen these actors in other things, and they're not like whoa, whoa.
Well, no, guys. The boy was like whoa, whoa. The lady yes. Was she was fine.
But here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing too. I want to say, which is very petty and not have to do with the story at all.
Okay.
Both of these actors, I believe. Well, she is blonde.
Yes.
In real life.
Yes.
And I think he is also blonde.
But they made him.
But they made them brunettes, and it looked weird.
Yeah.
They didn't look good as brunettes.
Yeah, she was in The Watchmen, and I couldn't place it until I had to look her up, because she looked very familiar to me the whole time. And but they did the, what is it, the Iron Fist thing, you know, the brother and sister corporate giants, and, you know, they were responsible for this. And they were the villains from the beginning, right? Because they come walking in, talk about, oh, God, everybody going to find out about this thing, you know, and they start trying to cover up their tracks. And not even cover up their tracks, on top of covering up the tracks, they were trying to seize the stuff so they can recover
get it
their
back
losses.
Again.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure they recovered their losses. They say they stock lost.
I think
20%.
They wanted to take it and be like, oh, well, we were testing it to be like make sure that it was still safe or whatever. But it turns out that we can sell this back to the that we can sell this back to because it's a great weapon.
Yes. So,
what's kind of the plot?
Yes, the whole plot of the thing. George gets infected. I feel sorry for George. He's getting big. They wouldn't get him no bananas. He goes crazy.
Okay, it was really, really sad. Okay, I will say that one thing they did really well is they made George so sympathetic when he was like, I'm hungry. It made me so sad that he was just like, I'm scared. I'm hungry. Like, you know what I mean? And then they were like, you know, that was sad.
Yeah. I like the scene, though, with Joe Magliano and all them badasses that's been in every movie. You know, they go hunting the wolf and stuff, and he shoot the wolf. And I'm like, I couldn't understand why they couldn't see that the wolf was gargantuan, you know, when he shot it. You know, I was like, y'all don't notice that thing is gargantuan? You know?
It's huge.
And he effed them up. The whole team went down. I was loving that.
We had tiny children in our theater.
Well, that's badass parenting. How PG-13.
That's what I said. I could not stop thinking of you the whole time that I was in there. Mike looked around and saw all these little kids, like little kids.
Uh-huh.
And he said, what is this movie rated?
PG-13, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he was saying. He was like, they shouldn't be here.
Nope. They should not, because it was pretty violent. Goodness gracious.
Violent. And there were some sexual weird jokes.
Damn, man. That wolf effed that team up. They didn't have a chance.
Oh, yeah. And I think he was my favorite. The Wolf was my favorite.
Man, that Joe Maggiato was such a badass. You know, he was face all scarred, all grizzled and stuff. And boy, he went down like a sucker, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't there for very long.
Not long at all, you know? So, after that, they turn on that little Chicago signal and make the creatures, you know, start coming out.
Now, that was one of the things I had the most problems with.
Okay, so
the movie, it is actually, she's like, oh, it's genetic whatever, but it's genetic engineering. So they're trying to take all these, the best parts of animals right. and make a super animal. So yeah. they're like, okay, so the regeneration power, or the growing power of a shark, because a shark never stops growing. The... Something of a whatever, and then put it together.
Gave it some cheetah stuff. Gave it a little bit of this, yeah. a little bit of that.
A beetle.
Dung strike. Beetle, right. Yeah, kind of beetle, right. Yeah.
And I get it. That's an interesting concept. But it's kind of, for me, it made me feel like I like big monsters.
Uh-huh.
As we all do.
Yes.
But at a certain point, like, you put so much shit onto it, it just looks like a bad kindergarten craft project. It's like, it doesn't have to be a flying porcupine wolf bat thing. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. It can just be a big scary wolf. Oh, you know what I mean? With a few extra stuff.
I see what you're saying.
It's just a lot.
You're nitpicking, Tiff. Get out of here.
I'm not thinking they look stupid. And then they, like, they're like, oh, they're sending off a signal in Chicago because we put it with bat rate sonar technology and it's making them crazy.
All right, Tiff. All right, Spock. Quit overly examining the plot holes.
Okay. All right. Oh, I'm sorry. It was actually really good because it was just so dumb.
Well, see, I ignore shit like that in movies like this. I'm just telling you.
I know, but if you start, I'd have to ignore everything. So there's no movie to watch.
So they coming downtown, man. They coming downtown, and hey, this is a pretty good part, though. But before they started coming downtown, they introduced Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who I just loved in this movie. He was so charming to me, man.
Oh, the text guy?
Yeah, he's cool. The Texan, I love how he called him an asshole, and then he called him one back, and he's like, hey, we assholes have to stick together, you know? I was like, he was charming. I really liked the job
he did. The hard-ass good guy that was like, is he going to turn them in or not? And then he doesn't, because he's actually a good guy.
Now, my biggest problem I had, you're going to think this is petty. No, you're not going to think this is petty.
No, I'm not, because I'm already petty.
You're going to think that this, of all things to have a problem with, was the general. The general who never listens to anybody.
Yeah, that's a very common trope.
Yes, I can't believe they played it. I was like, don't make the general because, not
like,
listen.
I feel like, okay, in the situation where he was like, hey, these are civilians, they shouldn't be in our war room. Well, in a situation where you are actually having a problem with a giant ape and a company, you would bring in experts, a primatologist, and a person who used to work for them.
Yeah, not only that.
You would hope
that,
for those kind of allies.
The CIA dude brought him in there. So whoever was with him, I wouldn't question it. Who cares? You know, what's his name? Colonel Blake. Colonel Blake was to me was one of the biggest holes. I'm like, oh, God.
Well, and then I think he was there to make it. Like, if he hadn't been so stubborn, we wouldn't have run into the issues that we have later in the movie that need to be solved. You know what I mean? Like the drone strike or whatever. Not the drone strike, but the bomb.
Yeah, I like when the monsters was running through the city getting to the thing. They was effing people up, Tiff. They were stomping people. Not. They were...
I did like when... Because I think, like, hearkening back to, like, Godzilla-ish stuff...
Uh-huh.
Is that, like, I will always be excited about the water reveal.
Oh.
When someone's like, oh, there's something in the water.
Well, yeah, that damn crocodile was in that water and the boats was getting all overturned and stuff. That was cool. And then he come walking out and just walking on people and stuff. And they only had 50% of the people evacuated. So it wasn't like Pacific Rim. People was getting effed up in this one.
Yeah, we knew that they were getting screwed up. That's why this was a big deal. Like, if there was no people in the city, they'd still want to stop them, but it wouldn't be as, like...
Right.
Yeah. Imperative.
So they climbed up the building and stuff. I thought that was cool. See, I was enjoying all this shit. I was smiling. I was like, oh, this is great. Just tear up some more stuff. You know, let's see some big creatures act a fool. And then every once in a while, we're going to throw in the fine, good doctor. That made me happy. Every time I seen Dr. Kate, I was like, ah, damn, I like her, man. anyway, So, you know, I messed up and went to the bathroom at one part. I went with my daughter. She said that I missed the werewolf getting his head bit off or something like that. I missed that
scene. Yeah. I will say that was really well done because they were saying, okay, a gorilla and a wolf would not be working in conjunction with each other.
Not together.
Natural enemies.
They'd be fighting. Right. I like that too.
But they were had a common goal because they didn't care. They were so messed up by the signal that they needed to get there. So that once the signal was over, it immediately snapped. Just like that, they were attacking each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool stuff.
That was well done. So like, yeah, the Lizzie, that's the name of the...
Yes.
That's the name of the big alligator, bit the head off the wolf.
Yeah, she did the little flying wolf thing too, right? Because I missed that part.
Yeah,
he flew.
Yeah, the rocks like tricked into flying into her mouth, basically.
Oh, okay. That's how it happened. I like to team up with him and George, man. I like that.
Yeah, when George becomes like better when he gets cured.
Yeah.
So like there's some of these Easter eggs in this movie is obviously George and Ralph are the names of the monsters, and it's funny that they're like the internet's calling him Ralph. They have a Rampage cabinet, arcade cabinet in the office.
Oh, do they?
Of the bad people, yeah.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that. I did not see that.
And then at the end, we see her get when they not at the end, but when he gets cured, when he eats her, the cover of the old Rampage game had a woman in a red dress.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Being held by George.
I was so surprised they popped her in his mouth like that. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. Oh, they went for it. They did it. Okay. So, you know, George gets messed up, man, and he's about to die. And I thought George died. I was sad. I was like, damn.
It was a little sad.
I knew they was going to kill George. I knew he wasn't going to make it the whole movie, but then they surprised me. And George wasn't dead. Then he started helping the people, you know, out the building.
Yeah, and he like, and they did establish that it wasn't just out of nowhere. They did establish that George was a jokester.
Yes. So that was even cool because I thought he was dead. I was like, damn. Well, they killed him because, you know, what else you gonna do with him? Are you gonna cure him and he's gonna come back to be regular size or what? You know.
Well, no, they said that he'll never go back to regular size. That was mentioned in the movie, but I kind of thought that at the end of the movie, they just kind of left it open ended. We don't really know.
Okay.
But I kind of thought that they would have him be like. Because he's so gentle, he's a gentle gorilla, that they would have him be like in some kind of at the San Diego Zoo, be like, oh, come see Giant George, you know what I mean?
It would call you a go bankrupt trying to feed that bastard though. Goodness gracious, you know, what you gonna feed him? Shit, you know.
But I did not appreciate the finger fucking joke.
Oh, over and over.
I was like, ooh.
That's what you had a problem with too.
When he was like, "Are you gonna fuck her?" When he put his finger in the.
Oh well, I thought it was.
That was kind of funny.
I thought it was kind of funny for me. It was PG-13, Jeff.
Oh Lord, have mercy! No, I don't care. I don't care if it's rated R. I don't want to see a giant monkey make a finger fucking movie.
God. Anyway,
why are you upset for me saying that? It's what happened.
Cause you got that mouth, and that's what you don't appreciate. I'm like, get out of here.
I mean, okay, yes, I have a dirty mouth. I'm just saying, it's and I'm not. It's you know what? See the movie. See how you like it. Go see Rampage. It's great. Montego loves it.
I did not love it, but
he loves his favorite best movie of the 2018.
That's not true, but I enjoyed it. I don't care what nobody say. I enjoyed it. I you know it had a lot of problems, lots of problems, but I still loved it. You know, I didn't love it, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah. You buy it on iTunes 3 months later.
I probably already bought it. I was drinking last night. I don't know if I did or not. I didn't
check. Hilarious.
Oh, shoot. I think that's it, man. I don't think we need
to
talk about nothing else. Yeah, we came to do the damn thing, and we got it done, y'all. Rampage. Tiff, hate the hell out of it. Worst movie of the year. Good. And I bet you I can find a worse movie for you this year. But anyway.
So, I bet.
However, no, I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed it for what it was. Mindless violence and fun. That's what I thought. So, anyway, that's not a ringing endorsement. That's just me, you know. So we did a damn thing, and I think that what are we doing next week? I have no idea, man. You know,
I don't know
what comes out.
Stay tuned.
Does anything dope come out? If it does, we ain't gonna see it.
I don't know.
Yeah, me neither. Shoot.
Obviously, it's not so dope. Otherwise, we'd be knowing about it.
Well, I know Avengers is coming out soon.
Soon, but I think it's next month.
No, it's this month.
Oh, it might be next week.
It's the 27th. Yeah, it is. But I don't think we're going to do it next week.
We do. We always give the people some time to breathe.
Give the people time to breathe. So we'll probably do a fan service next week, man. You know?
Sounds good.
Yeah, indeed. So anyway, man, saying all that, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is my lovely and sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot.
As always, a pleasure.
All right. And there is no move this week. And so that's going to do it, y'all. And until next week, we will be
on patrol.